We had a challenging episode a few months ago. Michelle and I went away, and while we were away, our hot water heater went out, and it wasn't working. And that's fine, because we have one of those contracts that you pay too much money to get somebody to come and replace your water heater. And I think Michelle was still home, and they came, and they said, well, there was a mess up, whatever, and they couldn't replace the water heater right away. And so we went away anyway, and Judah was left at home to deal with it. And so they came the next day, and they said, well, we can't replace the water heater because your main water shutoff is seized. You got to fix that. So Judah's trying to call plumbers, and the plumber came in and said, well, we can't fix your hot water shutoff or your main water shutoff until the town comes in and shuts off your main water. And so he's trying to juggle plumbers and the town and all the stuff. And the town comes in. They said, we can't shut off your main water because the sidewalk snowplower sheared the head off of it. So long story short, they ended up cutting into the driveway, replaced that. Plumber comes in, fixes the main water shutoff, the hot water heater. Guys came in the next day, replaced the hot water heater. And at one point, somebody said, you know what you should be doing on an annual basis is just turn the water on and off just to make sure it doesn't seize. And I don't remember getting that in the instructions to my house. The instruction book didn't have that. Well, it might have. I didn't actually read that book. And so there are these things that you learn in life. There are life skills, and we didn't know that we needed to do that. And so today you can find anything you need to know how to fix and replace on YouTube. But you're not going to look up something how to do it if you don't know that you need to do it until you find out the hard way. And so what I want to do this summer is because we have like a short time after the This Is My Story, we're going to do a series through Proverbs. It's a book in the Bible. It's a collection of Proverbs. It's kind of why it's called Proverbs. And it's in a class of literature in the Bible. The Bible's a whole bunch of books, and there's three books that are classed as wisdom literature. And the word wisdom, and we understand wisdom to be, you know, you can imagine some sage sitting on a mountaintop waiting for people to come to him as he dispenses wisdom. And the original word in the original language for wisdom is actually something along the lines of skill. So it's used in different parts of the Bible for, you know, like a wise craftsman, a skilled craftsman, or skilled administration. But these wisdom books are about life skills. So when we talk about Proverbs, we're talking about skillful living. And so we're going to be talking about living skillfully and in these like short segments throughout the summer. Now, we do have a live event on the YouVersion app on any smart device. And so there's kind of like the relevant passage for today. Questions, how do I apply this throughout the week? We have some small groups that go through that together. And I hope we have time at the end, because I'm going to try to squeeze everything in. For text messages, my number's on the screen. If you have a question or a comment relevant to the message today, then you're welcome to text. So living skillfully, there's a trend online, like one of those memes. It talks about life hacks, okay? Little tricks of the trade to make your life go better. This is the original life hack, okay? The book of Proverbs is the original life hack. And so today I want to focus on just one proverb, because we don't have time for more than that. And it's Proverbs 1, verse 7. I just want to unpack this a little bit. I'll read it first. It says, fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Very typically in these Proverbs, you have this contrast. Okay, here's the good and here's the bad. Here's the contrast. Here's the way you're supposed to live in contrast to that. And so we have this pursuit of wisdom starts with the fear of the Lord. And I remember this growing up, and you would read it and you would hear it preached on, and it seems odd. Are we supposed to be afraid of God? And I was taught all the time, well, it's more like a reverence or an awe. So I looked up the word in the original language, and you know what the word means? Something like terror. Are we really supposed to be afraid of God? And I think here's where the challenge is, and I know this is true in my life, and maybe you identify with this, is in our 21st century, in our life where we sometimes, I know a lot of people they see this whole idea of God, this whole idea of the Jesus life, and we make it a part of our life. And it's an important part. But it's not the whole part. It's just one part. It's like one piece of the pie. I have the stuff I want to buy. I have my job. I have my family. And then there's the God piece. And there's a... We treat God casually. When you look at the original language, and I don't mean the original Hebrew, the original English language, there's a couple of words that kind of encapsulate this sense of awe. One of the words is awesome, which is very closely related to awful. Because the sense of awe in there is, it's a gripping knowledge that there's something or someone that's huge, that's bigger than you, that's terrific and terrible. The root of that is terror. Terrific and terrible. And God is not someone to be treated casually. I mean, that's the root of this. See, what happens is, in our lives, we live our lives, and we do what we think is best, and we're pretty sure we got it together for the most part. And as soon as you're complacent in your life, in your finances, in your relationships, in your relationship with God, you don't have the ability to learn something new. Because I got this. I got it together. I have my idea of God. I do my daily devotions, I read my Bible, and I move on. And man, I struggle with that from time to time. Because I know there are people that struggle with the idea of reading your Bible and praying every day, and I start my day like that, and then it's almost like sometimes I check the box. Where's my awe of this creator that is so powerful, so awesome, awfully awesome, terrifyingly terrific, that he dominates my mind. He dominates my life. In the C.S. Lewis series, the Narnia series, and I think they actually included this line in the movie, when these kids are introduced to the idea of Aslan, and it's this kind of scary concept, this giant lion, and one of the girls says something like, oh, is he safe? And the response is, oh, no. No, he's not safe, but he's good. And that's a very deliberate description of what God is like. Because when you come into contact with the living creator who is all-powerful and can do anything and is completely good, it can be terrifying when you actually experience that. See, because we have our own self-destructive nature, we have our own habits, our own self-centeredness that doesn't do well in the presence of all-encompassing good. It doesn't. There's all kinds of habits that I've had and patterns of behavior and stuff that I really don't want to change. I'm pretty happy with the way I am. Even when I'm miserable, I'm pretty happy with that because to change is tougher. And when you come, not face to face, but when you encroach on the presence of God, you become completely aware that this is not good. When we really, really think about it, there's an awe and a fear in that. So then why are we all doing this? You ever watch a movie and there's an intense part of the movie and you can feel the hairs on your arm go up? Or you listen to music that gives you a sense of awe and the hairs of your arm go up. Biologically, chemically, it's very closely related to the experience of a cat when he comes face to face with a giant dog and the back arches and the hair stands up. There's that close relationship between awe and terror. And yet, we find something invigorating about it. That's why people watch horror movies or do crazy thrill-seeking things. There's something life-giving about that because we always have to come face-to-face with there's something bigger, huger, infinitely bigger than us that calls us to something better. It calls us out of our complacency. It calls us out of our casual spirituality, this encounter with the creative, living God. Now, I do want to balance this, because in the New Testament, there's a verse in 1 John 4:18 that says, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. So what do we do with that tension? I know we all like to think God is loving, and sometimes we stoop to making that mean God's happy with you the way you are. Let me tell you something. God loves you completely the way you are, but he's not happy with you the way you are. He's not content to leave you the way you are. He calls you to more. The world tells you, oh, you're perfect just the way you are. And some people would hear that and subconsciously go, well, then, if this is as good as it gets, that sucks pretty hard. There's got to be better than this. And that's what God says. There's something better than this. But can we be so terrified we can't even approach him? How do you overcome that? I'll tell you how that's overcome. See, God sent Jesus to die on the cross. And that imperfection that we have, that we love to live in, even though we knew it's going to lead to death, Jesus' death on the cross takes care of that. That's a demonstration of God's terrifying anger towards what destroys us. In the book of Romans, Paul says that in Jesus, sin, that's that self-destructive nature, sin was condemned. He didn't condemn Jesus, but he condemned sin in Jesus. And why did he do that? Because that was an act of love for us. So there you see that terrifying wrath and love encapsulated in that one event of Jesus' crucifixion. And now we have the freedom to approach God without fear of absolute destruction. That's the whole point of Jesus' death. So what does this proverb mean? Fear of the Lord is a foundation of true wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. A fool, and that doesn't just mean somebody who's stupid. In the context of that culture, it means somebody who is morally deficient, somebody who is bent on living unthinkingly. Living just, whatever comes. And throughout Proverbs, you see that's associated with evil, it's associated with deception, it's associated with laziness. That's the life that's going to lead to destruction. And somebody who is like that, they don't want to learn. There's no opportunity to get wisdom because they don't want it. But when you understand that there's an awesome, incredible, infinite God that calls us to higher, then we go, I have to learn. This is where you perceive the need to know. I need to gain the skills to live skillfully. I need the original life hacks. And it starts by recognizing who God is and saying, I can't treat this casually. So my challenge to all of you today in this really long message this morning is pursue an encounter with this terrifying God who loves you completely. Let's move away from treating our relationship with God casually. I know at Crossroads Church, sometimes it's easy to slip into that mindset because we dress in a relaxed way, but we don't take God casually. And I know I have huge appreciation for the way Wade leads the church in worship because he's pushing that all the time. I mean, he's not very explicit about it, but we are worshiping an awesome, incredible God. I mean, that happened this morning when he was leading in worship. That's why we do this, to remind ourselves there's an awesome, incredible God. Without Jesus' death on the cross, he's terrifying to us, but he has opened the way for us to have relationship. And in terms of having relationship, this is something that I say on a weekly basis because I have to give the opportunity on a weekly basis. If you don't have that relationship with God, if you're aware of the God out there, but I don't know if that he's accessible, and you're hearing about this is why Jesus died, you have the opportunity to come into that relationship, and here's how you do it. It's as simple as ABC. First, admit your need for him. To live skillfully, to live the life we should live, we need to admit our need for him. Second is believe that trust that this is available to us through Jesus' death and resurrection, and then commit your life to him. Simple as ABC. And if you're doing that today for the first time, you can text me or fill in one of those connection cards at the back, and there's a box to check, yes, I've decided to become a follower of Jesus today, hand it at the information desk or slip it under the office door or hand it to me personally. And then I also want to just very quickly highlight our giving options at Crossroads Church. They're up on the screen. Keeps everything running, but it also, this is the opportunity for you to give that one big part, important part of your life, subjected to this God who has the best life for you. Because we think casually about our finances sometimes. So I'm going to close in just a sec. I do have one text message, and I'd love to share it with you, but it's a picture, and I don't know what it means. It's a picture of a cat on tinfoil with butter on it, and it looks tasty, but I'm not sure what it means. So I'm going to ask that you would stand. We're going to move into prayer. And the prayer focus today is much like what I talked about. We need to move beyond casual spirituality and truly encounter this universe-creating God who wants what's best for us. And so I would encourage you to stay and pray. That's the reason why, at the end of the service, Theater One becomes a prayer room. We always encourage people, find one person you've never met before, have a meaningful conversation. Just please do that in the lobby. But encounter God all over again, today, tomorrow, this week. Ask him to show you to reveal himself to you all over again, because I think we make him too small. We make him too small in our minds. And there's something awesome and inspiring and humbling and life-changing about encountering him all over again. Encounter God all over again. That's the beginning of wisdom. That's where life skill starts. And let me pray for you. Father, I thank you so much that that in spite of you being awesomely terrifying and terrifyingly awesome, that you actually do love us completely. And I've experienced myself how scary it is to open up and allow you to search me completely, because I know some of the stuff that's in there, but that you have made the way for all of that to change, for healing and forgiveness and adjustment and transformation, that each one of us can be the person you've created us to be. That as you sent Jesus to die in our place, that he rose from the dead and allowed us to step into that Jesus life, where we can come to you with boldness and humility and be welcomed into your family. Thank you for this. In Jesus' name.